Now, for folks here in Iowa who haven't heard of your trio before, can you talk just a little about the show that you're bringing to Des Moines on Thursday, what you usually like to play in this sort of a venue?
Well, we usually, depending on the night, we draw from three kind of food groups of music. One is things that I've written, which have a pretty wide range. The other is songs by great jazz composers like Thelonious Monk or Wayne Shorter or Ornette Coleman. And then the third is usually some kind of reworking of something from what we loosely call American popular song. You know, could be Jerome Kern or Richard Rodgers or Cole Porter or something like that. So it's, you know, really depends on what I feel like playing in any particular evening. But it's, you know, there's a healthy portion of each of those groups.
Your bio lists you as a composer, educator, improviser, bandleader, collaborator, and recording artist. When you meet somebody for the first time, how do you usually describe yourself?
A jazz pianist and composer is the most succinct way of saying it. You know, I mean, I do lots of things, but those are the two main things that I do. So that's kind of how I list it. You know, the composing is a pretty integral part of what I do. So, and jazz pianist, you know, pretty much covers it.
There's a long list of accolades. You're nominated for 10 Grammys. Just last year, you were honored with the Doris Duke Artist, Jazz Pianist of the Year from Jazz Journalists Association. Vanity Fair called you the most arrestingly innovative pianist in jazz in more than a decade. How do you process all those accolades? Do they make you uncomfortable, or are you only as good as your last set?
Well, you know, it's always nice when they say good things about you. I mean, my agent likes it. Actually, on Sunday, I'll be at the Grammys, hopefully trying to win one this year. I'm up in two categories this year again, so I'll fly out Sunday morning to L.A. You know, I do have a lot of great, you know, press blurbs and articles and stuff like that. It's very nice. You don't want to, you know, let it go to your head, and, you know, you don't want to, you know, you're right. I mean, it's not like you're only as good as your last set, but, you know, sometimes I'll get off a set and I'll feel like, wow, that was great, and maybe the audience didn't really love it, or sometimes I think it's great and the audience loved it, or sometimes I didn't think it was all that great and the audience loved it. You know, you really never know. Sometimes it's just a match between a set and an audience that's kind of just hard to define. And if a gig doesn't go well, then there's usually another one the next night. So you try not to, you know, get too mental about it, and just keep trying to make it fresh, you know, and play it differently every time, and find something new every night. That's the goal.
You mentioned you're going to the Grammys this Sunday. I didn't see on the bio how many times you have won before.
I've never won.
Okay, so this is your chance to finally bring one home. Is that a big deal for you?
Nah, I mean, you know, 10 nominations, a win. I mean, I don't think it makes, in a way, that much difference. But after this many times at the dance, you know, it'd be nice to win one. I mean, it doesn't really mean anything to, say, my agent in Europe. I mean, Grammys don't really mean much over there. But it would just be a nice thing. I have a memoir coming out in September from Random House that I've been working on for a while. And so, you know, it would be nice to have the Grammy this year. It would kind of set up the book tour really nicely, and it would be another nice thing for them to use in the marketing for the book, and also, you know, for just general getting gigs and stuff. You know, some people do pay attention to it.
Your bio mentions you had been in a coma for 2 months in 2008, and that based on the visions you experienced during that time, you created a multimedia performance. Can you talk just a little about that?
Yeah. When I woke up, I retained, you know, some dreams. Eight in particular that I retained. I don't normally remember dreams, but these were very special. And I wanted to do something with them. I'd been through a terrible experience, and that was sort of what I was left with on the other end. So I decided, you know, as an artist, it's kind of like found material. Here are these dreams. Let's do something with them. And so I worked with a collaborator, and we designed about an 85-minute piece for 12 instruments, one actor-singer who plays both me and my partner, Scott, and multimedia, some computer-generated imagery, drawn animation, and lighting design, and, you know, we call the piece jazz theater. We didn't know what else to call it. It's not a musical. It's not a song cycle. It's, you know, it's not a jazz piece either. It's kind of a hybrid thing that we just call jazz theater. We were lucky enough to present it a number of times. There's a very nice DVD out of it. Certainly it's the most personal thing I've done and probably the largest thing I've done. So, we were pretty pleased with the way it came out, but it was months and months and months of work putting it together. It was quite a labor of love on everybody's part.
I just interviewed Iowa's U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley this morning. He is 83 and just won re-election back in November to another six-year term. So I know that in some professions, a typical retirement age does not apply. You are 61, I believe. Are you happy with your current situation and plan to keep at it for a while?
Oh, yeah. Well, the main thing is my health is good. And, I think the only reason that I would retire would be if I feel like I'm not giving performances at the level that I think, you know, would be fair to my audiences. If I don't feel good about the music, or I feel like I've lost a step and can't really perform to the level that I expected myself, either that, or if the travel just gets to be too difficult, I might just do... wow. Okay, this is something that I've never heard before.
Is that a National Weather Service advisory?
It's some kind of alarm that's going off in my apartment.
Okay.
Now
do I need to let you run?
Oh, it was an Amber Alert on my phone.
Okay.
I don't know why they texted me about an Amber Alert in Long Island, but that's what they did.
We get them. It's a statewide thing. Generally, if there's an Amber Alert anywhere in Iowa, unless you specifically set your phone up a different way, they will go off anywhere in Iowa.
Anyway,
it must be that way there, too.
At least it didn't last very long. if travel gets to be too heinous, I'll, just do less. Travel, the playing is easy. The travel is what's, difficult. Of course, I go to a place, we're going to Des Moines, of course, then Chicago, then Indianapolis, then I'll fly out to L.A., and, here we are in the upper Midwest in the middle of winter and kind of praying for good weather and not missing a connection, and, it can be a little nerve-wracking, usually things work out in some way or another, and you just have to roll with it when it doesn't.